Again, thank you so much for having us with you here this morning. It's just been a delight to be able to worship with you in the first service with communion and now here as we share in God's word together. I'll briefly just mention a little bit about the school. I won't take too much time, but Miller's mission is to develop passionate, relevant servants of the Lord Jesus Christ that are shaped by the entire scriptures. And it's a beautiful thing because we want to teach our students to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. We want it to affect their will and their affections. And that's where the life of a believer begins. Passionate and then relevant because we believe that the Bible is what is the foundation for all of life. And that every situation that comes your way, the Bible has the answer to face it. Servants, because that is the model of Christ Jesus. And if we are his followers, we are going to learn how to be servants and not think of ourselves, but look for practical ways in which to serve and bless others. And then the whole scriptures, because we believe the whole Bible is the inspired word of God for us. And that if you come to Miller for a 3-year program, you will study every single book of the Bible and read through every single book of the Bible so that you will be equipped to know how to handle God's word and apply it to your life, but also hopefully to bless the church and to be a minister of the gospel wherever you go. We have 2 campuses, one in southern Saskatchewan, just south of Swift Current, which is where we're from. We also have a campus in BC. It's in Sunnybrae, just on the Shuswap Lake. And the Pamburn campus has a little bit more emphasis on sports and fine arts. You can do drama and music and that kind of thing there. The campus in BC has a little bit more of hiking and outdoor type activities, and you can go there as well. We also have a graduate program, so if you want to do a master's degree, we have kind of a modular system. So 3 weeks a year, you will come to both campuses at different times and be able to take a master's in biblical studies as well. And a new thing for us is we're just in the process of exploring the possibility of opening another campus in Winnipeg. We have been asked by pastors and leaders in the business community there to just consider. So if you would pray with us toward that end, it's not a for sure we're doing this. It's a pretty open-handed process for us. We really aren't interested in expanding. We're not ambitious like that. But we hear that there's a need that we can help serve, that's the approach that we take. So again, if you can pray with us toward that end, that would be a blessing to us. All right, now as for what we have in the Word today, our family, when we gather together and wake up in the morning before school, we get around the breakfast table and we do family devotions together. And the last little while, we have been, reading about Israel's kingdom period and centering specifically on the life and exploits of David. Now, the biblical recounting of the life of David is pretty exciting stuff. And it's very rich material in a home with teenage children. I have a 14-year-old, a 16-year-old, and a 12-year-old, right? Of particular interest, this is to my 2 younger sons. Now, in many ways, David is such an idealized figure. He is strong and manly. He's brave and bold. Yet we also see this sensitive side to him, where he's a musician, and he is a man after God's own heart, and he understands the struggles of people around him. Now, even though David is idealized, and at times I would say we even idolize him, he is not always an ideal character. He certainly points us to Christ, but there is a reason we hope for a Davidic ideal in a character other than David himself. Because Scripture is pretty open and honest about David, about the flaws, about the individual characterized as being a man after God's own heart. He doesn't always do everything 100% correct. And there are lessons for us to learn in this, of course. David has high points of faithfulness that should inspire us and motivate us. David's heart for God and his love for the law of God is a beautiful thing. And if we cared for the temple of God and worshiped God with half of his energy, things might be very different for the church in our world. You know, he's a warrior of intense ferocity, yet also this sensitive poet who would use music to settle the darkness in even the wildest of hearts, even King Saul. Yet there are times when he made poor choices, and he had his blind spots, even as he pursued some good and godly things. Now, one area of significant challenge for David was his family. And his family was messy in so many ways, and his children often fell short of his example. Towards the end of his life, David threw his energy and attention at the building of a temple, a final home for the Ark of God and a central symbol of God's presence in Israel. Now, for all of David's devotion and vigorous energy given to the building of the temple, he could not foresee that his child, his heir, would not carry on the kingdom work of God in all faithfulness. God prevented David from building the temple, and so David had to pass the work on to his son Solomon. And now today I want to look at David's instructions to Solomon concerning the building of the temple, the specific words of this challenge. And in light of this building commission, we're going to look at Solomon's record in the building commission. And I think we should consider how well Solomon carried out his father's instructions. And from this study, I hope that we can consider how David's instructions to Solomon are equally instructive to us. And Solomon's track record is helpful for us in the church today as we consider our faithfulness to following God. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to 1 Chronicles 22. 1 Chronicles 22, we're going to start at verse 6, and I'm going to kind of comment it as we go all the way to verse 19 or so. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Then he, and that he is David, called for Solomon his son, and charged him to build a house for the Lord, the God of Israel. David said to Solomon, "My son, I had it in my heart to build a house to the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'You have shed much blood and have waged great wars. You shall not build a house to my name, because you have shed so much blood before me on the earth. Behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from his all his surrounding enemies, for his name shall be Solomon. And I will give him peace and quiet to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name. He shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish his royal throne in Israel forever.'" So what we discover here is that God is part of this commissioning process. David is not simply building a temple on a whim. God has initiated the work. And all work of any lasting or eternal value begins with God. And David is being obedient here. Despite his own personal earnest desire to do the work himself, he really wants to build the temple. But God says, "No, this is my work. I'm commissioning this work, and I have specified the individual to do this work. And that is not you, but your son, Solomon." Solomon is God's chosen instrument. And God has promised to arrange even the political and economic situation surrounding Solomon's reign in such a way that Solomon will have every possible means of succeeding at the work. Verse 11. "Now, my son, the Lord be with you, so that you may succeed in building the house of the Lord your God, as he has spoken concerning you. Only may the Lord grant you discretion and understanding, that when he gives you charge over Israel, you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper if you are careful to observe the statutes and the rules that the Lord commanded Moses for Israel. Be strong and courageous. Fear not, do not be dismayed." I just want to stop here, because where have we heard these words before? Be strong and courageous. The words "be strong and courageous" are usually associated with Joshua and the promised land. These are God's words to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. Yet these words are echoed by David to his son Solomon and are applied to the building of the temple. In the conquest period, Joshua is encouraging the people of Israel to go in and take possession of the promised land. After a generation of disobedience, Joshua charges a new generation to go into the land of Canaan and take possession. And for Joshua, the stakes are really high, because for the people, they are going to see the fulfillment of God's promise, both in enjoying the land and enjoying the presence of God with them in the land. They've been wandering for 40 years, and they are about to enjoy the completion of God's promises to them as a people. They're going to have the land. Now, David says the same to Solomon and applies the idea to the temple instead of to the land. And it is an extension of the promise, by all means. a further fulfillment of God's promise. The temple is the place to enjoy the presence of God. The people have free access to God's holy presence, and the temple makes that visibly present among them. And it is a beautiful blessing to set the whole tone for the nation by this central focus at the temple of God. David continues in verse 14. With great pains I have provided for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000,000 talents of silver, and bronze and iron beyond weighing. For there is so much of it, timber and stone too, I have provided. To these you must add. You have an abundance of workmen, stonecutters, masons, carpenters, and all kinds of craftsmen without number, skilled in working, gold, silver, bronze, and iron. Arise and work! The Lord be with you. So David outlines for Solomon the gracious provision that he gave to the work. So far, Solomon has done nothing. Done nothing. He has not even lifted a finger. Yet David has set up the work, he's planned the work, and he's provided abundantly for the work. All Solomon has to do is receive his father's gracious gift and get on with the work. And of course, this is a beautiful picture of the gospel, hinted at in these Old Testament words. In Christ Jesus, God has provided salvation. Through the cross, Jesus has put in place the plan whereby we can experience the fullness of God's presence. God provides salvation and gives his favor to all who call on his name. Yet the response for true believers is to walk in faithfulness and carry on life in the covenant. You know, too easily we look to enjoy the blessing of God, the benefits of salvation, without the ongoing action of obedience. Yes, salvation is by faith, and we can do nothing to add to the work of Christ. Yet God in Christ Jesus has commissioned us to get to work. And the work is real, and we have a role to play as we walk in obedience in the kingdom. The church is here to proclaim and demonstrate the kingdom of God. And work is not to be foreign for the believer. Blessing is not simply passively receiving from God, but seeing the opportunity for joyful participation. We live by offering ourselves in an honoring response to the magnificent work of God. David tells Solomon to get to work, and we cannot expect anything less from our Lord Jesus Christ, who commissioned us with the gospel. Remember, the gift of God's favor is present in the work that we do. Verse 17. David also commanded all the leaders of Israel to help Solomon and his son, saying, "Is not the Lord your God with you? And has he not given you peace on every side? For he has delivered the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and his people. Now set your mind and heart to seek the Lord your God. Arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord your God, so that the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God may be brought into a house built for the name of the Lord." Now here is where we get to the tricky part of the story. Solomon and all Israel with him are to set their hearts and minds on the Lord and to finish the work of building the temple. Now I said earlier that we would take a little look at Solomon's track record. And we need to ask some important questions. Did Solomon succeed in building the temple? Was he faithful to the commission? Did he remain strong and courageous and finish the work of building God's kingdom? Unfortunately, Solomon's record is pretty inconsistent. Now, yes, Solomon built the temple, but he also built a palace for himself, and then another palace for himself. And then he built other temples to foreign gods for his foreign wives. He took 7 years to build the temple, and then he took 13 years to build his own palace. And then he built another house for himself in the forest of Lebanon, and he added another palace for his wife, who was Pharaoh's daughter. And what, a foreign wife? Wasn't that a no-no? Isn't that something that Moses in the law said, do not do? Don't get me started on this. And he had so many foreign wives. And in the final reckoning, we learn that Solomon does not remain strong and courageous, being careful to follow the Lord like his father David. He built high places of worship for many of the false gods of his wives. And in the end, God is angry, is displeased with Solomon. Because in Solomon's pursuit of his own desires, he demonstrates that his heart is not fully devoted to the Lord. Now, before we get too hard on Solomon, we need to be careful to not point our fingers too strongly at Solomon without doing a little bit of self-reflection. To look into our own hearts a little bit. He was a king, so he has a high degree of responsibility. And his failure is on a much grander scale. It affects so many more people. Yet, our failures are just as significant. And we are accountable to the Lord our God. And I must constantly monitor and honestly assess the divided nature of my own heart. And I call on you to do the same. So easily, we look at a few external areas of faithfulness and think that we're doing pretty good in fulfilling our faithfulness to God. Solomon could say, yeah, I built the temple. Well, good for you, Solomon. But what about all those other things you did? And we can go to church, or we can go to youth group, or we can go to Bible study. And we can check off the list in our head that God received his faithful due from us. And all the rest of the time, we build all kinds of other things into our lives that indulge our flesh. And pursuing the passions of our own hearts. And the North American church is so culturally battled that faithfulness is a challenge for us. We know the difficulty of technology and social media. We binge watch on entertainment. We glorify celebrity, even so-called Christian celebrity. Divorce rates are high in our churches also. We idolize money and hard work. The work of the gospel continues to move to the sidelines, while morality declines in the church. Now, I want to let you know, I love the church. And I know that Christ is sovereign in the church and that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And like David, I am excited and passionate to build the kingdom of God in response to the gracious provision of salvation in Christ Jesus. And like David, I'm concerned about the next generation because we are constantly passing it on. We are constantly commissioning. We're constantly needing that reminder. And I remind you to be strong and courageous. Being faithful in obedience and faithful in work. God's promise is not simply just an endpoint. God's promise is a beginning of activity. A common phrase at the end of every kind of human inspired fairy tale is the dream to live happily ever after, right? That is a story our hearts long for. We long to be at rest, to be at peace. Now let me speak some biblical truth to you in the midst of that. As Christians, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, we have peace with God in Christ Jesus. We have entered a sacred rest. Solomon received his rest, not so he could sit back and do whatever he wanted. He received his rest so that he could get to work. Remember, church, to receive this gospel work joyfully. This is not a burden. This is a joyful privilege. And when we sacrifice, we set aside things that don't matter for the eternity that truly matters. Followers of Jesus have purpose and participation in the very life of God's glory. Godly people are invited into communion with God through godly activity. In Christ, we are at peace, fulfilled, and satisfied in him so that we can do the work of God, the proclamation of the gospel in utter freedom. Which leads me to the basic idea of Replica, the name of this group, based on Ephesians 5:1. Maybe it crossed your mind at some point to ask, why do you call yourselves Replica? It comes from Scripture, Ephesians 5:1. And Ephesians 5:1 says, you are the children that God dearly loves. So be like him. And we are to be like Christ. Christ is the final Davidic heir who faithfully and perfectly accomplishes the Father's will. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane to have the strength to put aside his own personal desire in favor of the Father's plan. Christ submitted to the Father's commission and perfectly carried out the salvation plan. And in light of God's provision, we should have the same boldness. For what is the temple today but the body of Christ? God calls us, the church, to be strong and courageous. For there is a promise that we are receiving, a promise we are enjoying, And the promise is the revelation of God received in Christ Jesus. And we have peace in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we have this commission to make disciples, to build the church in Christ as we proclaim the gospel to the world. So I say to you, church, be strong and courageous. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the way in which you have worked and you have provided. When we were far from you, when our hearts were divided, when we were enemies who rejected you, you made a way. You sent your son Jesus so that we could go from being in opposition to you to being at peace with you. And I pray that we wouldn't take that for granted. And we'd understand that in the midst of that, we have this joyful privilege of putting aside the flesh and dying to ourselves so that we can be like you. So give us the courage to live like you today. When the rest of the world says, do something different, we have a kingdom to build. And it's an eternal kingdom that will never fall. So help us, Lord, to be strong and courageous. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you'd like, you could all stand with us again as we continue worshiping God together. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." Pastor Ken is just going to come up to close the service.
Well, thank you so much for those hope-filled words and worship. We've got a big task ahead of us, always ahead of us, in building the church and in being salt and light in our community, loving the people who are here amongst us, loving our world around us. Let's pray a blessing on this team as they continue on down the road today and continue to serve the Lord and bless the congregations that they visit. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your love for us here. Thank you for giving us the provisions we need to build the temple. To Lord God, be your people, your sons, your daughters, Lord, serving you in this community. Thank you for, Lord God, bringing the team here from the Miller College of the Bible. And Lord God, bless them. Give them journeying mercies on the road as they head down to the road today. Bless them, Lord, this evening in High Prairie. And Lord God, may you use them again to touch the hearts of, Lord, your people. Lord, we thank you that you watch over us. And as we go about, Lord, our lives this day and this week, Lord God, give us, by the power of your Holy Spirit, the ability to share with people, to pray with people, to encourage them in the truth of the Word of God, inviting them to, Lord, come to faith in Christ Jesus. Lord, you've given us what it takes. You, like David gave Solomon, you've given us what it takes. But Lord, help us to be of strong and of good courage to just go and do it. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness to us all. Amen. Well, thank you for coming this morning. And again, in the midst of our greetings and interaction this morning, we want to be able to set up for the banquet on Friday or Saturday evening and bless this team as they go. We've been encouraged by them this morning. So God be with each one of you. Go in the joy and the love of the Lord.